Today's reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right, it's the last week you get to see me make that face on the children's roller coaster at the Indianapolis Zoo. It's wonderful. Well, if I have not met you yet, my name is Mindy Moore, and I'm the campus pastor here at St. Luke's Midtown. And I'm just so glad to be here with you today. I'm glad that we get to have Pastors Jen and Eve with us, that we get to just be together as a body of Christ this morning as we wrap up this series. You know, because it is the last week of the series, very important announcement, it is your last day to take your picture with this beauty over here, okay? That's my daughter, Hazel. She went for it on week one, and I was like, that looks like she's actually on a roller coaster. So that could be you, my friend. So I'd love to invite you today to stay after with us. We've got a cookout after church. It's just so chill, so fun. Take a picture with the roller coaster. Enjoy this last week of our series, Life's a Roller Coaster. You know, as we are in this last week, I've been thinking a lot about what it feels like to be at the end of a roller coaster ride. You know that feeling you get when the train, is that what they're called? I don't know. When all the roller coaster cars pull into like the station and you have that great feeling of peace and gratitude and relief, maybe. You know, if you're someone who has longer hair, maybe your hair is like all in your face. Or maybe you're grateful that you didn't lose your glasses or your phone on the ride, even though they had the pouch, but you didn't think you needed the pouch. And then you realized, yes, you did. So you get to that point, you're going into the station. And it made me think about a time in my real life when I took that child who was just on the screen on her very first big roller coaster. It was the Mystic Timbers at Kings Island. I just want to paint the picture for you here. Hazel was probably 7 or 8 years old at the time. She had a deep trust in her mother. She believed with her whole heart that what her mother would do would have her best interest in mind. And so when her mother told her, "This is going to be fun, it's not going to be too intense," she believed her mother. I'd like you to know that her mother did no firsthand research in order to back up that claim. I did talk to her best friend, also a 7 or 8 year old child, and that friend said, "Oh, this ride's so fun. You guys should totally go on it." And so away we went. And we learned very quickly that Hazel would now have doubts in everything I told her going forward. So this ride was intense, and I think if it had been my first roller coaster, I probably never would have ridden another one before or after it. And so she's much braver than me, because she does. She loves roller coasters now. But we got into the station at the end of the ride, and we kind of looked at each other. And I could tell that Hazel was not pleased with me. She had that look on her face, like, what did we just do? But there was a moment where the two of us just started laughing. Now, it was like that anxious laugh, like, "Oh, we didn't die. That's really great." Like, it was one of those moments. But we could just feel that relief that we had made it, we had survived, and we were grateful for it. That ride experience makes me think about the roller coasters in our own lives, because they can be like that sometimes. They can be wild. They can be intense. They can take us by surprise. But the thing about the roller coasters that we go through in our lives that we have to remember is that they don't actually last forever. Now, they can be intense. They can be frequent. But there's always that moment where we kind of pull back into the station. We can feel sometimes like they're going to last forever. We can feel like they're going to take a long time, but they don't. They have an end point. And as people of faith, the end point that we get to experience, it's a lot deeper than that superficial relief that I felt on that ride at King's Island. We feel this invitation that comes through Christ that has the power to shape us in some pretty incredible ways. So that's what we're going to focus on in this last week of our Life's a Roller Coaster series. We're going to look at how we're shaped by the different roller coasters that happen in our lives, and maybe more importantly, how our relationship with Jesus shapes us in the middle of those things. And there's a question that I want you to hold throughout this whole message. We're going to put it on the screen, a question that we're going to come back to at the very end, but it's simply this. What can we count on and what can we trust during the ups and downs of our lives? We're going to base our conversation today on a scripture from the book of Colossians. You just heard Braden read it. Now, Colossians is kind of an interesting book of the Bible to me. I know, Bible nerd here. We know this about Pastor Mindy. But Colossians is kind of an interesting book because it's found in the New Testament. It's one of the many letters to churches that we find in the New Testament, but this book is a little bit mysterious. There is some big debate on who actually wrote this letter. You know, some of the New Testament letters to churches, it's very clear. It's Paul. Paul is the person behind it. He knew the churches. He visited the churches. He wrote to them. He encouraged them. He did all that stuff. But Colossians, it raises some questions. There's some theological differences. There's a little bit of nuance. There's question about the dating. And so people just want to know, who actually wrote this book? I don't know that that's the most important part of Colossians, but what I do think it tells us, if someone who wasn't Paul wrote it, is that this ministry that Paul was doing, it was really important. Like, it was important enough that Paul would have trained someone else up to keep that encouragement to churches going. It was important enough that the early church said, we want to reach as many people for Jesus as possible, that we just want to be nurtured, we want to grow, we want to keep spreading this hope throughout the world. And no matter who wrote it, it's still a letter to a church with an important message. Now, the church that this is being written in, the Colossian church, they had been on their own roller coaster ride, I would say for many years. They had experienced a series of natural disasters. They had had a couple earthquakes happen in their region, decades apart, but you can imagine how hard it is to rebuild after an earthquake today. Put yourself in the early church's shoes. So what had once been this like thriving trade city, through no fault of their own, had seen everything literally shaken apart. They were trying to figure out who they were and what they could do and what it meant for them as people to thrive. And because they found themselves in these circumstances, they were pretty vulnerable. They were susceptible to, we could say, influences beyond their church. They were susceptible to people bringing ideas to them, and maybe they would follow them, even if they knew that that wasn't right or wasn't who they were or wasn't where they wanted to go. These people are tired and worn down, and they're just a different kind of vulnerable. You know, I wonder if you've ever been in a similar spot, where you've been through something that was so hard, you've been through something that was so devastating, that you didn't really know where to look for answers. You didn't really know where to look for hope. Maybe you went through a loss or a difficult season, or you just experienced some really rapid change, and it left you reeling. It left you wondering what it looked like to find steady ground to stand on. And maybe you found yourself being influenced by things that normally wouldn't have even been on your radar. You know, just a couple weeks ago, we hosted a workshop at St. Luke's called Scams Targeting Seniors. And this whole event was for our senior community, both at St. Luke's and throughout our city, to help people be aware of some of the ways that people try to take advantage of seniors, especially when they're in vulnerable moments. I was talking to David Myers, who's our director of safety and security at St. Luke's, and I was like, hey, just tell me about, like, what's the scam that they addressed in this workshop? And he was telling me about something called the romance scam. The romance scam, where people watch for obituaries. They either read the paper or they go online, and then they target those grieving spouses or partners. They'll approach them, they'll try to, like, strike up a friendship or a relationship, but their motives aren't pure, and it's normally so that they can get money from these grieving people. And people fall for it because they're vulnerable, because they're sad, because their world has been broken, and they just want to try to find hope. So this whole workshop was so that people would know about those scams and so that they would remember the knowledge that they have and they could kind of recalibrate to what was true and what would actually be helpful for them in their lives. I thought about this workshop because it reminds me a lot of the purpose of this letter. The purpose of this letter to the Colossian church. It was so the people could recalibrate, so they could remember what was true, so they could remember who they were and who God was and what kind of life they were actually trying to build. And when the Colossian church thought about what they knew and what was real for them, it's that they have this example and message of Jesus. Now, a lot of stuff has happened to them. That's true. But they know peace. Their world might have been turned upside down, but they know gratitude. They could have every single reason in the world to just fragment off from each other, to shut their church down, to move on. But they know the power of community. They know the goodness that happens when people come together and worship and serve and do life. They know all of those things. And as they think back to this ride that they've been on, to the roller coaster that they've been part of, this letter invites them to kind of take a deep breath, to remember where they've been, to remember who God is, and to anchor themselves to that God, no matter what life is going to look like in the future. See, it's true that there's a lot that the people in Colossae can't control. Like, that is a fact, full stop. They cannot control the situations that they're in. But it's also true that they have a ton of choice in this situation. They get to choose how they're going to respond to what's going on. They get to choose what's going on in their hearts. They get to choose how they connect to God, even if things are chaotic. They're really in a place where they can see what's going on around them. They can see the different influences at play, and they can decide what's going to be the thing that guides them forward. And they get to choose if that thing that guides them is going to be something that looks like peace and gratitude, or if it's going to be something that looks like scarcity and self-preservation. You know, when I think about that choice, I think these are two very legitimate ways to move about the world. I mean, I think we actually have to make that choice on a very regular basis. Are we going to choose peace and gratitude, or are we going to choose scarcity? Are we going to believe there's not enough and we have to do whatever we can to protect ourselves? I think those are two legitimate choices, but those are choices that also have consequences. Those are choices that lead us to different things. Because when we choose peace and gratitude, that's the kind of choice that brings us back to Christ. And when we choose scarcity, it just brings us back to ourselves. You know, when we choose peace and gratitude, we choose to act in a way that invests in people and our world. When we choose scarcity, scarcity is like, absolutely not. Like, you are not here to invest in someone else. You have to take care of yourself. When we choose peace and gratitude, we have an opportunity to leave these legacies that go so far beyond us. When we choose scarcity, I mean, I think it feels good for the moment. It might accomplish our immediate needs. But I think scarcity has a pretty short shelf life on what it can do. You know, we can't always choose the different roller coasters that we're going to end up with. That is how life is not like an amusement park at all, right? Like, we don't get to say, I'm going to go wait in line for this one. This one's worth 3 hours. No, I mean, sometimes we find ourselves on these rides and we're like, I don't know what's happening. That's just how life works. So we can't always choose what rides we end up on, but what we can choose is the kind of life we're going to create in the middle of it. We can choose how we're going to learn and grow and find Jesus and if we're going to do that at all. I actually think that's why the writer of Colossians uses this language, using the word let over and over again. They say, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the message of Christ fill your lives. Let your life be totally shaped and molded because you know the love and grace of Jesus. I mean, I think basically what this author is saying is, let these things we're talking about be true for you. No matter what the ride has looked like, no matter how quickly you get off the ride and you're like, I want to go to that one over there. That one looks better than the one that I was just on. No matter if your voice is hoarse because you've been screaming going up and down the hills, no matter what. Let these things that Jesus gives us, let gratitude and peace, have some freedom to do their work in our lives. You know, we can let those things work in our lives because no one is exempt from the possibility of peace and gratitude. Not a single one of us are exempt from the possibility of those two things being true in our lives. It doesn't matter what your roller coaster looks like. It doesn't matter if it looks like when I went on Space Mountain in Disney in January. I got to tell you, friends, I was so excited to go on Space Mountain with Hazel. That was the ride of my youth. I got off the ride and I thought, honey, your youth is over. Like, it's over. Goodbye. Gone. I mean, that ride hurt so bad. And so we get off and Hazel's like, that was awesome. And I'm like, I need ibuprofen. Like, what is happening? So even if your ride is like that, where you feel like you are getting jerked around and it's dark and you don't know what is happening, even if that's true, I just need you to know you are not exempt from the possibility of peace and gratitude, because those are things that come from Jesus. They don't come from what's happening around us. They come from something that we can count on. They come from someone who is consistent. They come from the love of God. And we get the choice if we're going to tap into those things and if we're going to cultivate something, even when things feel like they're out of control. And you know, when we make that choice, when we say we're going to let gratitude and peace and the work of Christ have some freedom to do work in us, that's going to move us to action, action in the world. You know, I think sometimes we lose the power of these ideas of peace and gratitude because we sort of reduce them down to feelings. Now, I am a very feelings-oriented person. I'm here for the feelings. I just think these words are deeper than that. But I think sometimes we hear things like peace and gratitude and we make them into like a fuzzy little blankie that we want to put on, right? I mean, I'm not anti-fuzzy blankie. When my kids go to bed, I'm like, that is, you'll find me on the couch with my fuzzy blankie. Like, it's great. We want that comfort. We want that feeling. It's just, I don't think these are only a feeling of comfort. I think peace and gratitude can be this incredibly powerful foundation that we build our lives on. They can be an incredibly powerful foundation that brings us back to Jesus, even when things feel hard. You know, I think that when we look at these as action items, we kind of see a little more depth even in the scripture that we read. We're going to put that scripture back on the screen. And I want you to pay attention to how many action words are in this message. So if you look at it, it says live, be thankful, teach, counsel, sing, do, say, give thanks. So there's your to-do list for the rest of the day. I mean, that is a lot of action items. It's a lot of activity, and it's a picture of a life that lets peace and gratitude work on us. Like, these are the things that are actually driving us forward. These things shape us as individual people, and if we're letting them truly do their work, it's going to go beyond what they're doing to us, and it's going to extend out into the world that we live in. About a year and a half ago, I went to a retreat called Pastors, Priests, and Guides, and I got to hear from a speaker named Stephanie Spellers. She is an Episcopal priest, and her sessions were just absolutely amazing. And she talked a lot about what it looks like to nurture our souls, to connect back to God, how it was so important that we tended to our inner spiritual life, especially for those of us there who were leaders and pastors. But what I loved about her message was that she didn't stop there. She said, yeah, you need to tend to your inner spiritual self. That is so important. And when you do that, it's going to flow out into the communities you find yourself in. Whether those are a community like a church, maybe it's a workplace, a school, a friend group, it doesn't really matter. But her point was, when we're living a life of faith, when we're living a life that follows Jesus, our spiritual formation never stops with what's happening between me and God. That's a huge part of it, but it's about what's happening between me and the world I find myself in. She uses this phrase of beloved communities, and she says, a beloved community is where we help one another become everything that God dreams of us becoming. What if we did that? What if we let peace and gratitude help us create beloved communities? What would our world look like? What would our church look like? What would our communities look like if we did that work? Now, I know that's not always easy work, but I do know that it's holy. I do believe that that's how Jesus lived. I do believe that that was the mission of the early church. I think when you read these letters, it's all about, hey, here's your personal holiness. Also, here's how to like live with each other and be in community and do this in a way that reflects the Holy Spirit. So I think this is work that we've been called to for centuries, and it's work that matters so much in our world today. And I just know that when we let things like peace and gratitude flow under our stories and be the foundation that these roller coasters we're on sit upon, that changes things. Our perspective shift. We can hear other people's stories. We can be open to the way that the Spirit might want to move in our lives. And I think when we draw from peace and gratitude, we end up cultivating a life that looks a lot like deep joy that only comes through Jesus. So at the beginning, I asked you to hold this question in front of you. What can we count on and trust during the ups and downs of life? Now, massive disclaimer here. If you have been around St. Luke's Midtown for any period of time, you may or may not know that Pastor Mindy almost never answers a question directly in a sermon. I am very well known for putting a question in front of you and being like, take that with you, pray about it this week. So I never answer a question, but today, on July 28th, 2024, I'm going to give you an answer. I'm not telling you it's the answer. It's just, it's an answer. I think it's something that could help us as we go through these roller coasters. So what can we count on and trust during the ups and downs of life? I think one of those things, very simply, is the peace and gratitude that comes from Jesus. Now, friends, is this going to stop the twists and turns of your life? That's going to be a very loud no from me. It's not. This is not going to stop the twists and turns. Will it stop us from surprisingly ending up on things like the Mystic Timbers? No, it won't. It's not going to take all the trouble and hardship out of your life, but here's what it's going to do. It's going to get us through it. It's going to take us through things that we can't plan and can't expect and don't always know what to do with. That is what the peace and gratitude that comes from Jesus can do for us. And that's why I think it's so important that we hold on to it, that we hold on to it as tight as we can. Because those things, they'll remind us what we know to be true. They'll provide a safe and soft place to land when we need it. And they'll have the ability to shape us and our communities through every single twist and turn. Will you pray with me? Jesus, today I would just ask you, in the places that we need peace, in the places where we need to practice gratitude, would you help us do that? God, would you help us know that we don't have to wait for the most ideal conditions to grow those things in our hearts? Would you help us know that the ride doesn't even have to be over for us to see you at work? Would you help us know that no matter how hard and turbulent the ride might get, that these things are for us, that your love is for us, that you are working in our midst? Jesus, sometimes that is the thing that we have to hold on to. And so I just pray that we would remember that as your people today. Amen.